Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies, playing hooky on a beautiful day like today. Could you blame Tom Sawyer for ditching school? But forget about that image of school truancy. Instead, think about this, the modern truancy. Thousands of local kids missing day after day of school, sometimes for weeks, months at a time. They're robbing themselves of their future, and they're just one step away from fully dropping out, leaving the education system, most likely headed to trouble with the law. Not a good scene. We're talking about truancy reform in San Antonio. What can we do to bring these kids back into the classroom, turn their academic performance around, put them on the road to success? And we want to hear your ideas, experiences, and input about you. Have you and your child gone through the truancy courts? How did that work out? Call in 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, or you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or right on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And joining us to talk about truancy reform, we're joined by Ray Saldana. He's the District 4 City Council member. And Ray, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Ray, so you're leading a task force to take a look at truancy reform in San Antonio. What is that?
Yeah, sure. So we are trying to understand how big how large the problem is in San Antonio. But what we really realize is we're not understanding how big this is. We're realizing that this is a very messy process today.
So, Ray, can you hear me? Are you on a speakerphone?
I am. I'm sorry.
Can you pick up a hand?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a lot better. Okay, could you start over?
Sorry. Yeah, sure. So, as I was describing, the issue is at heart is that we want to understand how big the truancy issue is to start with in the city, but what we realize is that it is a very, very messy system for some of our youngest students who become truant. And what we're trying to do is come up with a centralized, streamlined system that cares more about putting that student back into the classroom and less about finding them or introducing them to the criminal courts.
So we have, I don't know, how many school districts we got in San Antonio? We got a lot of school districts in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Does it vary from school district to school district about what exactly a truant student is and what kind of measures are taken against them?
Yeah, the answer to your question is yes. We have 16 different school districts. That means we have 16 different ways of handling students. Not only that, once we figure out we've got a student who's truant and how do we deal with them, we've got the option to either send them to municipal court or we can send them to the Justice of the Peace. And what that creates is then a system in which you sort of learn how to game the system with your student. If you wanted to push him, if that student was somebody you wanted off of your books, you didn't want to worry about, you needed to get him out of the classroom, you would say, I need to send them to the court that is going to require the least amount of work for me to prove that I worked on this student, that I tried to get him back in the classroom. And that's what we're seeing is we're seeing overburdened courtrooms with some of these young students who in some cases are missing classes because of very valid reasons. I was in a courtroom and a student was explaining that he had to stay home because nobody was at home to take care of his younger siblings, or because another story in which a student was embarrassed because he didn't have new shoes coming in the classroom. And so these are things that can and should be handled at the school level before we are turning that student into a criminal.
So you're leading this task force. City Council doesn't really have a lot to do with public education in San Antonio. So why are you doing this? What's the process?
Yeah, the reason the city is involved is because we see them when the operations fail at the school. They do come to the municipal court system. And what we do is we ask that student, tell us a little bit about why you're in this situation, why you've missed so much class. But really, those are questions that shouldn't happen after having to pull a parent out from work in the middle of the day to bring them downtown to the court at the municipal court center. They should be happening with a school counselor. They should be happening with a case manager at the school level before we've already turned that student into somebody with a label above them that says, they are a criminal going through the juvenile justice system. So that's why we're interested, because we want to relieve the backlog at the city. And at the end of the day, we want more of these students in the classroom. And we know that works best when it's handled at our schools.
Okay, Ray, Councilman Saldana, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're really busy. Appreciate a few minutes of your time. District 4 City Council Member Ray Saldana, he is leading a task force in San Antonio with multiple local school districts and education leaders talking about truancy reform here. If you have a question or comment about this issue, call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.com. Councilman Saldana, thank you so much for joining us. Now, let me bring in Mary Mergler. She is the staff attorney at Texas Appleseed. They have been working on issues connected to the schools to prison pipeline. And also Brian Woods. He's the superintendent at Northside ISD. Welcome to The Source.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
So, Brian, over at Northside ISD, how do y'all deal with truancy there?
Well, as the councilman suggested, we try to intervene with the family and with the child specifically to understand the root cause of the truancy. Truancy is rarely a problem that's not connected to other issues, and so we typically try to intervene with the family prior to filing any kind of court case because, you know, at least philosophically, we agree that we ought to get to the root cause rather than just punish the symptom of the problem. What I'll tell you, though, is that that is, by its nature, very individualistic work, and each situation is different. And so that has to be handled one at a time, and that takes resources. That takes personnel. That's not something that an algorithm or a computer can do. And so we've dedicated significant resources to that process.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation talking about truancy reform in San Antonio, the number is 614-8980. Chris has called in, so let's get Chris on the air. Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. I was just telling you guys that it seems like semantics are kind of in play here, too. We all have some idea of what truant means in our own heads, but I know that in Northside School District, after so many tardies, you're penalized with an absence, when in fact, if you were there, you know, after 10 minutes or even, let's say, you come in after 15 minutes and you're marked with an absence, you're not, in fact, truant. You were late, but you're not truant. And if, for whatever reason, you've been tardy too many times, you know, it's entirely possible that you'll wind up with a bunch of absences or truancies on your record, when, in fact, you were there for the majority of the school day. And it's a very interesting proposition, because if you're to take a child out at the end of the day, say the last 15 minutes of the day, to go to a dentist or something, you're not penalized for that sort of stuff. But you're missing roughly the same amount of school. So I find that it seems like there should be some different class of penalty as opposed to truancies that count on a record for you know, that kind of thing.
All right, Chris, thanks for your call. We appreciate that. So, Brian, Superintendent, Northside ISD, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I think that the caller is right to a point, although the law is pretty clear about what is an absence and what is not. The other comment that I would make about that is that excused absences aren't being treated as truancies. So if a child's absent and the parent knows where the child was and communicates that in some way to the school, that's not treated as a truancy, and that wouldn't contribute to some kind of court filing or even very likely an intervention from the school. But the caller is correct. Chronic tardiness eventually would be treated as absenteeism, and the school would try to intervene in that process.
Mary Mergler, you're the staff attorney at Texas Appleseed. You're working on issues connected to the school-to-prison pipeline. What are you seeing here with truancy reform?
Well, what we're seeing is that Texas, unlike almost any other state, is sending these truancy cases to adult criminal court, and the child charged with truancy can be fined up to $500 and then often has a criminal conviction on their record, which can be problematic in the future when they're applying to jobs. applying to college. So these cases, you know, really have lifelong consequences oftentimes. And so Texas is sending these kids to court, and we also know the research demonstrates that court involvement does not work. Court involvement often makes things worse for these children. It further isolates them and alienates them from school. It does not encourage them to go to school. And the courts are really ill-equipped to deal with the underlying causes of truancy. Like Dr. Wood said, the causes of truancy are very individualized and variable. You know, it can be a family member in need of medical care. It can be that a student's being bullied and afraid to attend school. And so it is really necessary, if we're going to increase a student's attendance, to address those underlying causes and develop very individualized solutions in order to get that student back in the classroom.
All right, let's hear a story about what it's like to go through the system with truancy. Joseph has called in, and he can tell us about that. Joseph, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, Joseph, you're on the air.
Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, I just wanted to give my opinion on that, too, and add on to that topic of, you know, seeing what the individual problem is with each student rather than sending them to a justice of the peace or a criminal court right off the bat. I know it's like I used to have problems with insomnia and depression when I was going through high school. And as hard as I would try to go through the school and try to talk to the principals and stuff, there was really nothing they could do about it. You know, if I was late to school, I was late, and with, you know, with the tardies adding up to turning into absences, you know, get sent to court, you know, and it was kind of upsetting. It was kind of, just upsetting overall, just going to criminal court with other people that are there for, you know, that really don't care about school, really don't care about their grades or their future, and you're trying to as hard as you can, but, you know, just your mental problems aren't really letting you. And
sure. And did you feel like you were being pushed out of the system?
Yeah, I would, because you know, as hard as you would try, you know, even some of the teachers, they would just kind of like have you just not come in. You know, you would try to show up, but they would just tell you to just wait outside of the door or something like that. And
okay.
And, yeah, it was just kind of tough. You know, I was also really poor, you know, as a child. My mom was a single parent, and I had nobody else to really raise me or look after me ever since I was in elementary school. So I always had problems with attendance.
Right.
And, yeah, okay. You know, just sending us to court and taking our money, you know, that didn't really seem to help me at all, so.
Okay, Joseph, I appreciate you calling in and telling us about your story. You really help us see what some of the issues here are. So thanks for calling in. So, Dr. Woods, tell us about, I mean, if you hear someone like Joseph, I mean, students, it's typical for teenagers to have sleep disorders or having trouble get to school. And so they're what do you do with students like that?
Well, it starts with communication, and that, yeah, I go back to, the, you know, that's very individualistic work where the school administrators really got to work with the parent, and in the case of a high school age child, the child themselves, and try to determine what the issues are and then see what interventions are available for the family. If it's a medical issue, then we've got to work with the family to try to address that. That's not something that the school usually can address on their own. They've got to work with the family and perhaps social service providers to assist the family in getting the help they need.
And Mary, you've addressed, I saw in some of your documentation about how these fines are so disruptive for families that, you know, they just will drop out rather than having to deal with a kid who won't go to school when they're supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. A $500 fine for a low-income family can be completely devastating. And, you know, we hear from students and parents all the time who have fines that they are really just unable to pay. And we worked with one student who accumulated over $2,000 in fines that he couldn't pay. He wanted to, and the reason he was truant was because he was frequently taking care of his younger siblings because his mother had a medical condition, and he wanted to enlist in the military and was unable because he had all of these fines. And
is there any way to, like, get those fines wiped off the books? Say, if you say if you go to school, if you get a good grade, if you turn your act around, these fines can go away. Is that possible, Dr. Woods?
I think that and the councilman might be the better person to answer the question. My recollection or my understanding is that that's largely up to the judge that's dealing with the case.
All right, either a justice of the peace or a municipal court judge, depending on.
Correct. And I'll say, to the credit of the judges here in the municipal courts in San Antonio, students and parents are rarely fined on the first time they go through the court. And even when they are, they're generally held in abeyance and kind of in concert with the question you were asking about, you know, if I get things turned around, can the fine go away? I think that's the normal operating procedure here in the San Antonio Municipal Court.
And so would you, Dr. Woods, like to see someone on your campus deal with these on a case-by-case basis? Is that a solution, like a case manager there?
Sure, and essentially that's what we've done. We've dedicated resources to do that on our, especially our secondary campuses, where you're more likely to have those issues. But as I say, that is very time-consuming, very individualistic work, and it does take resources. And so it's flippant to say schools should and just, you know, kind of walk away. It takes resources to do this work, and so while we have made great strides, I think, in the way we work with families that have truancy issues, it doesn't come without a cost.
And Mary, what about holding kids accountable? They got to learn the lesson, they got to be where they got to be when they got to be there.
Well, I think what the research shows is that sending kids to court is just going to make things worse. I mean, court-based school discipline, arresting kids, court involvement has been linked to an increased risk of dropout and an increased risk of juvenile justice involvement. So what we really need to do is look for solutions that are going to lead to better outcomes for our children and get them back into.
Well, give me an example. How does that work?
Well, for example, there's a wonderful program in Williamson County, and it's a collaboration between the school districts, the JP courts, community-based nonprofits, the juvenile probation department, and everyone has sort of pooled the resources that they do have. And they work with a student after a certain number of absences. The student works with this program to develop an action plan that really addresses the causes of their non-attendance, and then a case manager follows up with that student every week and ensures that the student follows through. They've been able to divert 90% of their cases away from the courts.
So
there are examples of effective programs out there.
So Brian Woods at Northside ISD, what do you think the outcome of this task force is going to be?
Well, and essentially, the work that was just described to you in Williamson County is what we're working towards here in Bexar County, is to develop a program that puts some resources on the campuses, helps schools to intervene with students and families prior to filing any kind of court case, prior to dealing with it as a legal issue, to try to get at root causes of truancy.
All right. Thank you so much, Brian Woods, the superintendent, Northside ISD. We're also joined by Mary Mergler. She is the staff attorney at Texas Appleseed. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.